Pick up the authorized version of the Holy Scriptures before you in the pew and turn with me to 1 Samuel at the chapter 30. The 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook of Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God, that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoils or anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, "This is David's spoil." God shall stamp with his own divine seal of blessing this reading from his very own infallible book. The scriptures were written for a particular purpose, and that purpose was that they who read them many years after should have an example to follow in similar days of temptation, bitterness, frustration, disappointment, depression, and temptation. The Bible has the answer. It always has the answer. There's not a circumstance. There's not a situation. There's not a trial. There's not a trouble. There's not a difficulty. There's not a mountain to be climbed, a river to be crossed, a sea to be bridged, that the Bible doesn't tell you the way. It's a book for all circumstances and for all seasons. If you look at this 30th chapter of Samuel, you'll find the story of an hour of crisis in the history of the children of Israel. David had come from the Philistines' camp, and he had come for the purpose of going back to his own city of Ziklag. There his family was, there his people were, and there his followers had their hope. But when they arrived back from a very heavy journeying that was so severe upon them physically, that 200 of those hardened soldiers couldn't even cross the tiny brook that was on the way. When he arrived, what did he see? He saw ashes upon ashes in the place where the houses and the walls had been. The city had been burned with fire. No one was left. There were no charred bodies in the ruins. There was no suggestion of any slaughter whatsoever, just a city of ashes. We today in our province are in a day of crisis, and all around us we can see the ashes. The torch has been applied. Destruction has taken place, and things that we used to take for granted are gone. They are only a heap of ashes. This desolation, note it carefully, was wrought by the traditional enemies of God. If you look with me at verse 1, you will find it was the Amalekites who destroyed David's home and David's city. Who were the Amalekites? The first Arab tribe that attacked the children of Israel as they came from the Red Sea and passed through the great and terrible desolation of the wilderness, to go to Kadesh Barnea to enter into the promised land. And you will remember that Moses picked out Joshua And Joshua picked out the most valiant men of war that were in his army. And they drew sword with Amalek. And Moses on the top of the mountain held up his hands and he prayed. And when Moses prayed, Joshua prevailed. But when Moses' hands were heavy and he stopped his praying, Amalek prevailed. So two men, Aaron and Hur, held up the hands of Moses, and they set a stone for him to sit upon it. And that day, as his hands were upraised, God in the valley gave the slaughter of the Amalekites that were there into the hands of Joshua. And at the end of that terrible battle, God said, write a book. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua and the children of Israel. I will have war with Amalek generation after generation. This battle with Amalek will never stop. A war declared that will never be over until the last member of the tribe of Amalek is slaughtered and is no more. The traditional enemies of God. And as I look over this province tonight, there are many who have come to destroy it. But the destruction that has been done to it has been done by the traditional enemies of God. False religion. The religion of the Roman Antichrist, the religion of Babylon, the religion of idolatry, the religion of priestcraft and superstition, the religion of the Mass and of the confessional and of popery, they lie at the very heart of all the troubles. I was reading a little book the other day written by an Irish Presbyterian minister, when the Irish Presbyterian Church was both Protestant and Orthodox, and it was the evil foe of Ireland is the Church of Rome. He never said a truer thing. At the heart of all our problems in this country lies that evil force, that poison. Those that sow the tares in the field of God, Romanism, popery, priestcraft, idolatry, and all wickedness. And I can see that. I was telling the District Orange Lodge here, of which I was chaplain many, many years ago, when I commenced my ministry in this city, and the first time I preached to number 6 district LOL was 53 years ago. That's a long time. And I was telling them today that I have not changed in my message. That my message remains the same. And in those days I earnestly contended against Romanism and all its works. The traditional enemy is responsible for what has happened in our country. But the enemy has been aided and abetted by the ecumenical movement and the ecumenism. And the clergy of our day are the apus of Rome. They may not be pimus, but they're apus. They're the apus of Rome. And we can see it on every hand. Concession after concession. The BBC, which is the Vatican radio of this promise, has them all to the fore. And they've all the same message. We're all to blame. I'm not to blame for the murder of anyone. I never put my hand to the knife. I never put my hand to the trigger of the revolver. I'm not. The Protestant population, as a whole, are not responsible. It's a great thing. Accuse everybody of the same sin. We do not engage in the sins of popery. We have nothing to do with our bloodletting and bloodshed. We have nothing to do with the system that produced the Inquisition and put 2 million of the saints of God in Reformation times to death. We have nothing to do with it. This nonsense, you hear it from all these clergymen. Yes, we're all to blame. Well, I tell you, they're to blame because they're the men that sponsor it. They're the man that give it the coat of righteousness. They're the man that excuse it. They're the man who become the grand apologist for it. Traditional enemies of God. We have a visitation of onlookers who have come from America to look at the Orangemen, to see how they behave. Was a member of the British House of Commons. And there was a prominent Roman Catholic, a Tory member, and he got into an argument with her. And he said, "You are a Catholic, and I am a Catholic, and we're all under the Pope. Why can't we agree?" And I remember she spat out of him, "I never voted for the Pope. He doesn't speak for me." And I said, "Hear, hear." And he doesn't speak for me either. Even Romanists know that democracy is unknown in the hierarchy of popery. Did you see what happened this past week? There was a big meeting of nuns and holy women, and they want to get into the priest. And they had a great meeting in Dublin this week. And they had as a special lecturer a woman from the World Council of Churches. But the Pope sent a letter to the World Council of Churches and told the World Council of Churches not to let her go to that conference in Dublin. And the World Council of Churches withdrew her authority and banned her from the meeting. Do you ever listen to hypocrisy like that? For inside the World Council of Churches, there are churches that have woman priests. But to please old Papa, the World Council of Churches said, "No, you can't go there." Oh, the power of these traditional enemies of our country. I saw that miserable woman, Breeds Rogers, on the television, and she told us 42% of Portadown is nationalist. Therefore, these orange men will not march. 42%. What would happen if they were 50%? What would happen if there were 55%? I tell you what would happen. The same thing that happened in the south of Ireland when there was 10% of the entire population Protestant. And today there are only 2.5%. We'd be wiped out if when they're 42%, they say no orange foot will walk down that road. What will happen when they're 50%? And 55%. The traditional enemy. And what happened? Well, the natural thing happened. The people got frustrated. And there's a lot of people in Northern Ireland frustrated. I was talking to a wee woman the other day, and she was very much annoyed. And she said, "You know, Mr. Pate, I'm very angry." I says, "You don't know how I feel. If you're angry, I'm more than angry. I'm boiling over." And what happened? These people wept, and then they decided to turn on David, and they decided to stone him, as if David was to blame for what had happened. He was a blameless man. He had nothing whatsoever to do with it. But what did he do? He didn't take the worldly road. Note carefully, David was seen in a supplication to God. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Thank God for a God that will encourage us. In the darkest valley, in the toughest fight, in the greatest battle, when temptations round me gather, I'll breathe his holy name in prayer. The church has lost its urgency to pray. Why have we prayed more God would do far more abundantly than we could either ask or even think? Is that the way God's answering your prayers? Well, if he's not, you're not really praying right. God says he'll do far more abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. And you know what God told him? He told him about a miracle. He said, David, I'm going to reverse the tide on these Amalekites. And you're going to get everything back. Not one tin of beans will be missing. You'll get them all back. I'm going to give you everything back and more. Now that was a miracle promise. Because our God is a God of miracles. Some people say to me, Ulster will never be the same again. You're absolutely correct. But if God does a miracle, it'll be better than it ever was before. And I don't think God's finished with this province. I don't think God is finished with his miracles. I don't think that the devil or the Pope is going to get the better of God Almighty in this battle. And then you will notice after the supplication of David, 400 men. They were tired men. They had come a long way. 200 of their colleagues had fallen out with the strain and the stress and anxiety of the marching. But 400 men and David went forth to the battle. God has always a man for the hour. And an hour for the man. God is always his people. They may be little in numbers, but strong in faith. It may seem, humanly speaking, they'll be wiped out. But Gideon's 300 men chased thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of the Midianites and turned the swords of the Midianites against themselves. This week, pray in Shropshire that God will make the Midians to rend themselves. Jerry Adams has told us he loves hugging trees. Well, I want to tell you, friend, when he hugs a tree, you have wood touching wood. That's what you have. When Adams touches a tree or hugs a tree. And Mr. Reed says he wants a change of outlook. They don't want Hillsborough House. You know why they don't want Hillsborough House? I'll tell you. That isn't a secret. There was reported that if they did something at Hillsborough House, there would be such a protest outside, they couldn't get them out of it. That's why they're running to Shropshire. Because they're going to sell this country out if they can. And they have decided it. So get as far away from Ulster as you can. So that you can sell it out. But I want to tell you, they may run from Ulster, but they can't run from Ulster's God. They can't run from the God of heaven. Though I make my bed in hell, their God will be. And though they make their bed in Shropshire, their God will be. And they'll not have any sleep, they'll have nightmares when God gets a hold of them to deal with. Oh, I tell you, my friend, there is a God that doeth work. And we come down in this chapter to a wonder. Who was the man that delivered all these people into the hand of David? Do you ever think of this? A man lying sick. A man who hadn't eaten. for 3 days and three nights. A man with not a breath. A young man lying by the wayside. And he wasn't a Christian man. He was an Egyptian. Another enemy of the children of Israel. And God said, I'm going to do a miracle. You're going to get everything back. And I'm going to do it through a young man. A man who needed bread. A man who needed water. A man who needed a piece of a cake of figs. A man who needed 2 cluster of raisins to raise him to strength. For he had been without food for 3 days and three nights. But this, of course, is a type of resurrection. Every 3 days and three nights is followed in Scripture everywhere with resurrection. God's ways are past finding out. Who would have thought that a poor, sickly Egyptian would have been the key to the factor to bring David down upon this host and utterly and totally demolish them? It's the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And thank God today, God still is the same. He doeth wonders. Notice from verse 6 to 16 and 17, there was complete devastation. David drew sword. David took on the multitude. And all night and all day until twilight the second day, he utterly destroyed them. So only 400 young men got camels and fled from the scene of the slaughter. I thank God that I can sing, God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. This land of ours has seen blessing. It has seen devastation. It has seen treachery in the past. But out of it all, God has delivered. Is God going to feel, as the world says, who will show you any good? My friend, God is showing us good. God is answering prayer. God is saving sinners. God is stirring up the people of God to pray. God has at work, and you'll see it. Mr. Trimble, we were told, was a much honored person in the nationalist community. He lost by his foolish statement about the young man that was murdered in Antrim. He lost all that just in an hour. And the very people that were praising him were cursing him. I tell you, God can turn the tide. And God will turn the tide. I am confident in my soul that the Lord God of Israel will deliver this country. I don't know how it's going to be done. If I had told David, there's a sick fella, an Egyptian, out there, and he needs some fig juice, and he needs some raisins to chew. He's the boy who's going to deliver you. David would have laughed at me. But that was the man that brought deliverance. God can take the weak things and the nothings to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So don't look miserable. Get off the vinegar. Get on to the honey, child of God, for God's going to bless this country and deliver it. I'm looking forward to this week. I'm looking forward to Shropshire. I'm looking forward to the amazing effect of the environment on these huggers of trees. I'm looking forward to that. It's interesting times we're living in, isn't it? Interesting times we're living in, because there's a God in heaven, and he's going to show up the folly, and he's going to show up the foolishness, and he's going to show up the wickedness, and he's going to show up the evil plans of men, and he's going to vindicate his people and answer prayer. And before we finish, look what happened. David recovered all, everything. There wasn't a thing that was stolen was not returned. And our God can restore, listen to the years of the lupus. There are people in this meeting tonight and they're not saved. They're not converted. I know they have a love for Ulster and a love for this province, but you can do nothing for your province until you're a child of God, until you're saved by the grace of God. And dear friend, without Christ, I would say to you, come to Christ tonight. Take Him as your own and personal Savior. Start this summer with Christ in your heart, the hope of glory. And rejoice, for God's going to do great things for us, whereof we shall be glad.